Well, amen. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a praise offering this morning. Can we do that? Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Beautiful worship time there. Good songs. Loved it. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, turn with me, please, to Psalm 55. And go to verse 22 and 23. Isn't it wonderful? We have this great day here on a holiday weekend, and the place is practically full. I mean, you just never know. God can do anything. Hallelujah. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And that's where we usually stop with this verse. But look at the next verse. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in thee. So that's an interesting scripture there. We're going to look at that a little bit. I want to talk today about the subject of long life. How many want to live long? Praise God. We'll pray for the rest of you after the service. Amen. Praise God. We'll pray you go on peacefully. No, I'm joking. Anyway, so why teach on the subject of long life? I've struggled with this week, you know. It's kind of one of those things where I said, Lord, what am I teaching on this for? But I believe there's a reason. God always has a reason. You know, back when Jenny and I contracted COVID-19 back in February, you remember I mentioned that numerous times since then. I've talked about how I began to listen to recordings of scripture verses and healing scriptures. And then over a course of several days, I received healing. I did that. That really happened, and it was amazing. And so if anybody deals with sickness, go to the scripture healing, the healing verses in the scripture, and listen to them and, you know, immerse yourself in them. And God will speak to you and things will happen. And as I was listening to those healing scriptures, there were several areas that were emphasized in those scriptures, areas that had an impact on the way I was thinking about things. One of those areas was the understanding, the revelation that it is absolutely God's will for us to be healed. No exception. Praise God. I mean, that's something that came along. You see, I thought I knew that already. I thought I believed that already, and I did believe that already. But you know, when you get sick, you don't think normally. You don't think the way you normally think. You know, you sometimes question, Lord, why is this happening? Why me, Lord? What's going on? Have I sinned in some way? You know, is there some reason I'm not being healed? Have I done something wrong? And then the devil will start to beat you with that. Something not quite right going on here. God doesn't really want to heal you. That's what goes through your mind. I'm telling you how your thinking goes in the middle of that. And I think that's why the Bible has the scripture that says, if any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. But there's another part to that. And if he hath committed sin, it shall be forgiven him. I think that's exactly why that's in that verse. Because we start thinking it's something we've done wrong. And that just totally deals with the thing of sin. Anyway, I may have gone off the subject for a second, but as I listened to those healing scriptures, I became fully convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that God wants us to be healed. No question about it at all, no doubt about it. And there was another area, actually three or four different areas that these healing scriptures dealt with in my heart. And another area was emphasized in the healing scriptures was that it's God's will that we have long life. And I never really stopped. I knew the scriptures are in the Bible about that, but I never really stopped and thought about it very much. There are numerous scriptures, but I never thought about it as a Bible subject per se. But it is a Bible subject. It's God's will that we live long on the earth. How many believe that? Anybody believe that? The Bible very plainly, and we'll see that in a minute, brings that out. And those two areas, God's absolute unchanging will that we be healed and His will that we have long life, those two things are extremely powerful in strengthening our faith to receive healing. Once you become convinced of those two things, healing is just a step away. You just reach out and get it because you know it's yours. Hallelujah. And so it's very powerful. And so I had it in the back of my mind for a while now to share messages about those two areas. God's will for us to be healed and God's will for us to have long life. But for some reason, I started putting down notes about long life first. And so since I had all these notes put together, I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and I'll share on it. But anyway, so the passage we read in Psalm 55 says, to cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you or cause you to endure. But bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. That's interesting. See, now being bloody and deceitful are not the only reasons people die before their time. My sister Charlotte passed away back in January this year, and she's just 53 years old. A liver condition developed suddenly, and, you know, she was gone. It just happened. Don't ask me why. I know she wasn't wicked, praise God, or bloodthirsty or anything like that. But my point here is that we can lengthen our life or we can shorten it. And God wants us to live long. And I'm telling this to everybody here, not just the more elderly ones. I'm talking to all of us, young and old. So don't tune me out here. I don't either, tell you the truth. Robin told me her dad was having his 70th birthday this week. And I said, oh, he's just a young fella, huh? Praise God. Hallelujah. And I meant that too. See, there's a belief in the world, and even among Christians, you'll hear it, that there's a day on a calendar somewhere that marks the end of our life. You know, that day is on you, it's on the calendar. We hear people say, well, you know, when it's your time, buddy, nothing's going to stop it. You heard people say that before? So that's kind of a Southern thing. I think they say that all over the world, though. When it's your time, buddy, nothing's going to stop it. And then I'll also say, well, if it's not your time, there's no way you're not going anywhere if it's not your time. Well, all that sounds good, but I think both of them are wrong. You see, here it says, the wicked shall not live out half their days. In other words, they could have lived twice as long, but they didn't. See, the calendar theory didn't work there. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Can people die before their time? Of course they can. Amen. Step out foolishly in front of a bus and watch what happens. You know, it won't be your time, but you'll go. And you know, nearly 2,000 suicides happened in the United States last year. Was it their time? Was it on the calendar for those days? No. But it said, cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee, or keep you alive. Now, the word burden means your lot, that which comes your way, whatever is weighing you down, whatever burden you have. It could be anything, an unpleasant experience, a harsh conversation with someone. That's no good. A bad day. Or just some problem that you're worrying about. You know, did anybody here ever have problems? Don't answer that. I know we all do. You'd be lying if you said you didn't. Hallelujah. Okay, but it says, cast it upon the Lord, or that is, give it over to Him. And what? He shall sustain you or give you endurance. Oh, this is a key to long life right here. You see, worry will shorten a person's life. And learning to cast it to the Lord puts us under His protection. If we're going to live long, we're going to have some protection along the way. You're going to have it. Psalm 91, verse 1. We're all familiar with Psalm 91, but it always comes in this teaching really well. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Dwelleth means, he that dwelleth. Dwelleth means to remain, to abide, to sit. He who sits down or relaxes in the secret place of the Most High is really the picture it's given. He who stops with his own striving and struggling and sits down in the trust, in God's trust. It says, he shall abide, and that word abide means to stay the night, the concordance says, under the protection of the Almighty. So praise God, the protection of the Lord is with those who cast their burden to Him, sit down and relax and trust in Him. And if you look at the last part of that psalm in verse 14, what benefits does this trusting one have? Well, verse 14, because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Praise God. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Praise God. With long life. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So here's my point. It's God's will that we live long. And He provides the protection needed for us to do so if we will cast our burden on Him and live in the secret place of trust where we have perfect peace because our minds are stayed on Him. Now, the question comes up, what is long life? Ah, here we go. This is going to be good. Okay. Biblically speaking, what is long life? Any ideas? Okay, you just stay quiet then if you're afraid to answer. I don't blame you. I don't know either for sure, but we'll see what the Bible says. Some say it's 70 or 80 years. You know, and that's based on Psalm 90, which we'll look at in a minute, a psalm of Moses. But let me give you a little background on Psalm 90 before we jump into it. You may recall that Moses grew up in Egypt. He lived 40 years in Egypt. And then he killed a man, fled Egypt, lived on the backside of the desert for 40 years, okay? Then God called him to go down to Egypt and bring Israel out. And they spent another 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Now, very early in their journey, Moses sent out spies. He sent out the 12 spies, remember, to spy out the land of Canaan, the promised land. And the spies came back after 40 days. And they gave an evil report of the land because there were giants in it and they were afraid. They did not want to go take that land because of the giants. They were scared of them. And this caused the people to refuse to go in and possess the land as God wanted them to do. And this, of course, made the Lord a little bit upset. He said he wanted to kill the whole crowd. But Moses prayed. He interceded. God repented. But the Lord pronounced a curse on the people for refusing to go into the land. And that's in Numbers chapter 14, this whole discussion. Later on in Hebrews it says, I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. But in Hebrews chapter 14, I'm sorry, Numbers 14, 32. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for 1 year, shall you bear your iniquities 40 years and you shall know my breach of promise. How many years? 40 years. See, the ones who sinned would die within 40 years while wandering in that wilderness, that whole generation of 20 years old and upward. So with that in mind, let's read Psalm 90, verse 7 through 10, which was written by Moses during this 40-year wilderness period. See, we've got to take it in context. Psalm 90, verse 7, for we, Moses says, are consumed by thine anger. And by thy wrath are we troubled. We are living under your anger and wrath, in other words. Verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. In other words, you haven't forgotten our sinfulness. Psalm 90, verse 9, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told, or some strange story. Verse 10, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Does that sound like a great thing to be into? No. Can you see that this 70 or 80 year age lifespan was not normal? They were not living under normal conditions. They were under a curse. He said, we are consumed in your anger. The years of our lives are just 70. And if we're really strong, maybe 80. But even that strength is toil and hard labor. It's a struggle even if we're strong enough to live to 80. They were under a curse. Until the 40 years was up. When the 40 years was up, the curse was lifted. He said, your carcasses are going to fall in this wilderness, thus saith the Lord. And it happened. But by ignoring the context, many scholars have said that man should live 70 or 80 years. But that's based on a curse. Now, generations later, Abraham lived to 175 years. Isaac lived to 180. Jacob lived to 147, and he told Pharaoh, I've had a hard life. I've just lived to 137, he told Pharaoh. He lived another 10 years. He says, I haven't lived as long as my ancestors because I've had a hard life. So then what is long life, biblically speaking? Boy, y'all sure are quiet. Well, good thing. I believe personally from the Bible that it's 120 years, if we're biblically speaking. Okay, now before you start throwing the tomatoes, all right? Let me just say, I don't know anybody who's personally lived that long. Do you? Okay, praise God. That doesn't mean it's not true. 95. Well, you know, what's our next step? 90, 100, 95. You know, a lot of people live in their 90s now, you know. And some even live over 100, 110. I mean, I've heard of that. So it's that. But let me just say this. Let me ask you a question. How long could a person live having God's divine health and his angelic protection? He will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all their ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Yes. How long could a person live having God's divine health? He wants us to be healed and healthy. And also angelic protection. Well, it's possible they could live a long time. Anyway, so let's turn to Genesis chapter 6. And I'll show you what I'm talking about here. I'm going to show you where I got that number. And you can be the judge. You can believe it if you want to. You can not believe it if you want to. It's okay. I just want to show it to you. Now, you remember from the time of Adam, back in the early days, Adam lived 929 years. All right, that's a pretty good lifespan. To the time of Methuselah, who lived 969 years. During that space of time, men's lifetime was hundreds of years. And 100 years like a decade or something back in those days. Enoch's life was the shortest at 365, but he didn't actually die. He was translated. Where's Shua? We were talking about that this morning. He came in. I said, where'd you come from? He said, I was translated here. But Enoch lived 365 years, and it said that God took him. He walked with God, and God took him. He didn't even die. He was translated into God's presence. And Methuselah may have lived over 1,000. It's possible he could have lived over 1,000, except he died in Noah's flood. I did a timeline study one time based on the genealogy of Adam. You can trace the numbers from Adam to Methuselah, and you'll find the flood happened on the year that Methuselah died. Yeah, sad. I know what you're saying. But He may have lived to 1,000, but for that, but for the flood. Anyway, so let's look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. Genesis 6, verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, which were certain angelic beings, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. Let me translate, they look good, all right? That's what that means. And they, these angelic beings, took them wives of all which they chose. And their offspring that they had, by the way, became giants in the earth, without going into all of that. But in verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Now you might say, well, brother, that just means that in 120 years, I'm going to destroy man from the face of the earth. Well, that couldn't be right because God did not destroy man. He saved Noah's family, and Noah lived to the ripe old age of 950, 350 years after the flood. So man's lifetime decreased after Noah's life. Man's lifetime decreased to between 120 and 175 years. Now, that's a far cry from the current accepted norm. That's what a normal lifestyle or normal lifespan is. But is it possible for us to lift our vision a little higher? Could we possibly do that being believers and all? Praise God. Could we lift our vision higher to a place to reach something that God intended for us to have? I believe we can. I'm that much nuts to believe that. How do we lay hold of that if it's possible? Well, if God said it, and he did right here, and we believe it to mean what we believe he said, then we lay hold of it through faith in his word. Just like we do with any other promise of God. Whatever it is, healing, provision, long life. So let's just look at a few of the many promises of long life that the Lord gives in his word, and then we'll close. Just a few minutes, we're all doing good, and it just is 12 o'clock. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, I think y'all probably heard this one before. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Wow. That your days may be long upon the land. Paul calls this the first promise, or the first commandment with promise. Not the first promise, but the first commandment with promise. And what does it promise? You guessed it, although you didn't say it, long life. It promises long life. And we're talking about biblical long life, not ordinary long life. Biblical, scriptural long life. So how do we honor our father and mother? Well, of course, we'd be nice to them. That would be a good start. You know, show respect for them growing up and whatnot. Treat them good. That really goes without saying, though. You ought to do that. But how are parents truly honored by their children? They're honored or dishonored by the way their children live their lives. Praise God. Proverbs 10:1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Amen. See, our lives, the way we live our lives, honors or dishonors our parents. Now, maybe some of us have parents who have already gone to be with the Lord. You know, that'll happen eventually. But even so, living a godly life still honors our father and our mother. And there is still a promise of long life connected to it. So live a good life. Honor your mother and father and mother. And live long. Praise God. Live long and prosper. Praise God. Okay, we've got a few Trekkies here. But anyway. So Deuteronomy 5 verse 33. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. That's long life and prosperity. And he said, you'll walk in the ways which the Lord thy God hath commanded you. Is it important to know the word of God? Isn't it important to know the word of God and walk in it? It says right here, it'll give you long life. Deuteronomy 11:18. Therefore, shall ye lay up these words in your heart, these my words in your heart and in your soul. It involves God's word. And bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Amen. And ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them, his words, when you sit in your house, when you walk in the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Talking about a bunch of radicals there. His words front and center, sitting in the house, walking down the road, lying down, rising up. Is the word of God important in our lives? Absolutely. I'll answer that one myself. Verse 20, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. Why? That your days may be multiplied, extended, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Glory to God. I like that one. Y'all knew that verse was in there, right? Okay, praise God. Just checking. Days of heaven upon the earth. Is it God's will that we live long and have a blessed life? Amen. Like the days of heaven upon the earth. I believe it is his will. You know, I found out the word of God will heal us. I found that out by listening to healing scriptures and getting healed. But, you know, I think it's clear that it will also give us long life and prosperity. God wants us to live long and be blessed. That's the will of God for our lives. I wish above all things that you might prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, have you noticed that all of this has to do with our relationship with the Word of God? It does, all of it. Everything we have to do with God has to do with our relationship with the Word of God. Everything we receive from God comes through the Word of God. Now, you remember the scripture? O Lord, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. That's a good one. Anyway, praise God. Moving on to the wonderful book of Job. Job 5, verse 26 says this. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Is it God's will that we live long? Amen. Let me hear a yes and an amen on that one. Praise God. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, and let thine heart keep my commandments. That's his word, right? Proverbs 3, 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they, my words, add to thee. What does the knowledge of God add to us? And peace. Good, brother. Good. Hallelujah. Length of days, long life, and peace. Or shalom. Complete soundness, welfare, and peace. That's what the knowledge of God adds to us. Is the word important? Yes. Now, I know that if I had not come to know the Lord when I was like age 29... I would probably be dead by now because of the direction I was going in my life. But I gave my life to Christ. I received the Lord. And I began to pursue the Word of God. And it has added length of days, long life, and peace. And it's still doing it. I haven't seen it let up any yet, praise God. I don't think it's going to. I believe it ain't going to. Is that good English? Sorry, Jan. Anyway. Is that a double negative or a triple negative? I'm not sure. Anyway, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Our days are multiplied and our years are increased. That's long life. Through the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the knowledge of the holy being understanding. Praise God, that's a little confusing. Strike that statement. Hallelujah. Anyway, Isaiah 40, verse 31. Strike it unless you got time to meditate on it later. But anyway. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Now, does this verse have anything to do with long life? I believe it does have quite a bit to do with it. Yes, certainly it does. If you look up the concordance words for this verse, you could read it like this. Those who look for the Lord, those who pursue Him and find the knowledge of God, they shall come on anew. They shall come on anew. They shall sprout again. Look it up. They shall ascend up with wings like eagles. They shall walk, they shall run and not be weary. They shall proceed forward and not be fatigued. Would all of that help us out to have all that going on? Of course it would. I ask people sometime, how you doing? And they'll say, oh, I'm just worn out. I'm worn out, buddy. I'm so tired. Just so weak. I just can't quite sleep enough to get any energy. Well, I've got the solution. Wait upon the Lord. Look for Him. Pursue Him. And you'll renew your strength. Never thought of that. How do we look for Him? Through His Word. That's the only way. It says to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness through thinking, reasoning, and meditation. Look it up. And all these things the Gentiles toil after will be added unto you. Amen. What power there is in the Word of God. That's, if we don't get anything else out of this message, get that. There's power in the Word of God. And I think we're beginning to see that. Those who pursue Him through His Word shall sprout again, Concordance says, like an old plant coming back to life. Glory to God. They will ascend up like eagles. They'll have strength to run and to walk without getting tired. And where does that strength come from? Cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Our help comes from the Lord as we pursue Him through His Word. Because through His Word we hear His voice. And like Sarah, who heard the voice of the Lord, by faith received strength to conceive in her old age. We also hear His voice and receive the strength to live long and prosper, praise God. This stuff is real, folks. It's real. Now, Isaiah verse 65, verse 22. I like this one. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people. And mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Glory to God. Like the days of a tree spanning many generations. And my chosen ones shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Are you a chosen one? That's a question. Praise God. Of course you are. If you're going after God, you're a chosen one. If you're setting your focus on Him, is that what the focus of your life is? Pursuing God, pursuing His Word, pursuing His truth? I believe it is. And the Bible says His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth that He might show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are fully given to Him, fully focused on Him, perfect toward Him, it says. And so, So if you're going after God, you're a chosen one. Every one of us in here are chosen ones. Now, it says they shall long enjoy the work of their hands. That tells me they won't be laying around sick and feeble. Glory to God. They won't be stuck in a nursing home. Hallelujah. They'll be busy doing stuff. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Am I dreaming here? Maybe I am. Just don't wake me up. That's all I'm asking. Psalm 92, verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in their old age. They shall be fat or vigorous, that word means. Look it up. And flourishing. Vigorous and flourishing in their old age. Glory to God. I'm telling you, it's God's will for us to live long on the earth and to be busy and successful doing something in the meantime. Hallelujah. For the entire time. So I want to say this. Stop talking old. See, we started doing that back when I was about 25 years old. I was working at the printing company, a bunch of characters, carrying on all the time, a bunch of foolishness. And, you know, we joked about how we were over the hill at 25. Are you kidding me? Over the hill, yeah. But we talked it like we were so old. You know, I don't know why. It just seemed like it was cool, the cool thing to do. When somebody asks you how you're doing, don't say, oh, I'm doing okay for an old man or an old woman. I hate to hear that. You know, because really, if you say so, doesn't the Bible say, let the weak say I'm strong? You know, doesn't it say wait on the Lord and renew your strength? But instead, we're talking weak, old, and tired. And you know, there's a thing here, I may have skipped it, but yeah, here it is. You see, we think that's cute. I'm doing all right for an old man. You think that's cute? I don't get it. See, what you're doing is you're thinking of yourself as an old person. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You just talked yourself into being old by talking like that. You've created a self-image of yourself being an old person. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. I like to say stuff like, I thank you that you satisfy my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. I've prayed that over my food for years. I don't know about you. You know, the Bible says that the food is sanctified by prayer and the Word of God. What do you mean the Word of God? Speak the Word of God over your food. And that way you'll do it every day for years and years and years and years and years. See, there's a cumulative thing involved here. And speak the word of God over your food. I thank you that with long life you will satisfy me and show me your salvation. I thank you, Lord, that I'll still be bringing forth fruit in old age if I ever get there. Praise God. That could be taken in several ways. But anyhow, now, that may not be an eloquent prayer. He doesn't pray a very eloquent prayer. But it's certainly in line with the word of God. Amen. If I'm praying stuff like that over my food, may not be very eloquent, but it's scriptural. See, I believe the Lord wants to create a generation of long-lifers who will go past the boundaries that society has set for us. Oh, you can't do that. Nobody lives that long. Well, we're going to believe God and just watch us. But we've got to believe it before we can see it. That's how faith works, don't you know? You got to believe it before you see it. I just don't believe in all that stuff. Well, don't worry about it. It won't chase you down for sure. Now, because see, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Every promise of God that we have in Christ, we have to receive it by an affirmation of yes and amen. Yes, I believe it. Yes, I believe that. Amen. That promise is mine. Hallelujah. I receive it. That's how we get anything from God, from getting saved to anything else. And I want to close here just by encouraging us to stop talking old and start talking in line with the Word. God doesn't call us old. But if He says, I'll give you long life, He means long life, biblical long life. I remember the scripture says, you know, and they were well stricken in years, old and well stricken in years. I think it was Elizabeth and Zechariah. When you're old and stricken in years and God says it, you're old. Man, that's calling. Anyway, and like I said, I'm not just talking to the older folks. I'm talking to the younger ones, too. Start when you're young. That's when we started talking old, when I was 25 years old. See, you can be an old young person if you speak it over yourself long enough. See, we can convince ourselves that our day is come and gone. You know, we're just now drifting through life waiting for the end. Come on. I'm telling you, this is how things happen, seems like. All our opportunities have gone by. And that's just not the truth. God always has something for all of us at any age. That's right. Praise God. Maybe more. Maybe three quarters full. Amen. So let's speak the promises of God over ourselves instead. Could we do that? Let's pray over our food every day. Lord, you bless our bread and you bless our water. And you take sickness away from the midst of us. Hallelujah. You satisfy our mouths with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. And with long life you satisfy us. See, we're affirming what we believe on the inside. So let's put the word of God into our heart and declare what God says about us. And guess what? That's exactly the direction our lives will go if we'll do that. Amen. Praise God. Y'all get anything out of that today? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Lord.